This is the Super Sports Schools Podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spur Steak Ranchers.
1, 2, 3, go!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Super Sport Schools podcast brought to you by Spur. I'm Alex White. Now, today we're discussing a very important topic in sport and specifically in school sport. And it's a topic around difficulties that people across the country and across the world face in sport when it comes to violence and abuse. And to help me discuss that, I'm joined by Mathilde Grenet all the way from Switzerland. So we're joining online. It's a bit of a different experience for us here on the Super Sports Schools podcast. Mathilde, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for joining me and to talk about this. I think just to start off, so we can set the scene so the viewers at home know who you are, to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Of course. Good morning, everyone. And thank you so much, Alexander, for inviting me on your podcast. Very honored to be with you this morning to talk about a very important topic. So my name is Mathilde Grenet. I'm originally French from Paris, but now I'm based in Lausanne, Switzerland, which is a little bit the Olympic capital. And I'm a former tennis player, French tennis player. I played to a good national level when I was young. And then I went on to play for the NCAA in the US. So I played for the University of South Carolina for 4 years, and I did play a couple of professional tournaments, a couple of future tournaments, but I always knew that I was not gonna become a professional tennis player, and I was always quite focused on my studies. So today I call myself a safe sports specialist. And I have created, I have founded a safeguarding consultant firm whose mission is to eradicate interpersonal violence in sports. So the name of my company is En Garde. And I created this company because I was sexually abused by my tennis coach as a child during 2 years. And I later on realized that not enough was done at all levels of sports to prevent abuse and harassment from happening. I also learned so much from going through a 7-year legal battle against this coach who was sentenced to 18 years of jail in January 2021 for the rapes of 4 minors. So we were 4 victims. So that's how I created En Garde. I was, as I was going through, this legal battle, I was already working in sport. So, when I graduated, I right away started working in sport, in sports marketing and then, in international sports event management. And, you know, I thought all along the judicial process that as soon as it would be over, I would just close the chapter and never talk about it again. But when it finished and, you know, when the judge hit the gavel, I realized I wanted to do the opposite. I didn't want to keep that for myself. I didn't want to hide it. First of all, I think I just wanted people to know where I was coming from. And I also thought that I should really open up to potentially help other people, other victims to speak out. So I decided to launch my own company, and now I've been working with En Garde since 2 years, and I'm working with several international governing bodies and national governing bodies on their safeguarding programs and initiatives. And I'm extremely happy about this work. For me, it's very meaningful to, you know, because of what I went through, to be able to maybe have a small impact and make sport safer for the next generation. I also have a son. I'm a mother. I have a 3 years old, and I hope he will have a really great experience in sports. So I that's why I do this work as well to make sure that kids around the world have a great experience in sports. So that was maybe a little long introduction, but hopefully that was okay.
Mathilde, that was perfect. Thank you for sharing your story and helping us understand why you are so passionate about what you do. As you describe yourself as a safe sport specialist and your organization On Guard, I really want to set the scene as to why we wanted to talk to you about South African school sport. And that's because it's not rare for us to see in the media stories of abuse happening in elite schools across the country, in self-described elite sporting schools across the country. We're also very much aware that we're just hearing about it when it makes it into the news, and that it's happening at a much deeper level across sports, not just in those elite schools. So I really want to help, I really would like you to help us understand sort of how big the problem is, what the problem is, so that we can understand what needs to be done about it. So I think to start off, what are some of the misconceptions? What is the problem, and how does it all come about? I think I'm going to hand over to you to go into that.
Thank you very much for this question. So interpersonal violence in sport is a real issue. And before I joined you this morning on the podcast, I looked up some numbers for South Africa. And I could find the only prevalent study that I could find for South Africa was a 2016 study conducted by Optimus study, and it revealed that 40%. So that was 2016. So this study revealed that in 2016, 42% of children in South Africa experienced some form of violence. 35% of children in South Africa experienced some form of sexual abuse. 35% of children in South Africa experience physical abuse, 26% emotional abuse, and 50% neglect. So this was not a study done specifically for sports, but for society as a whole. But we know that sports, that in sport, there are more risk factors, you know, because in sports, there is less scrutiny, there is less supervision. There are power imbalances between coaches and athletes. There are risk situations. Children in sport are often a little bit isolated. They have to travel to competition, stay overnight, and that makes them more vulnerable. There is also, we know that in sport, there is a little bit the no pain, no gain mentality and win at all cost mentality, which can really create the right environment for harassment and abuse to happen. When I was doing my research this morning to find out about the prevalence of harassment and abuse in South Africa, I also saw that since the South African Olympic Committee started implementing their own safeguarding policies and procedures, that they've had to deal. So I think they implemented their policy a few years ago, and since then they had to deal with about 100 cases, and many of these cases came from the school, the elite school system. So, in terms of misconception about harassment and abuse, I think one big misconception is that people think that harassment and abuse only happen in elite sports. We've all seen, some very high-profile cases, such as the Larry Nassar case, national team doctor of the USA gymnastics who abused hundreds of gymnasts in the US. In English football, also, there were some terrible predators in the 2000s and hundreds of victims. So when we think of abuse, we often think of, first of all, elite sport and these very high-profile cases with a lot of victims. But we know that these cases that you hear from in the media are really just the tip of the iceberg. So I gave you some numbers of some prevalence data. But we know that, you know, that there is a very high prevalence of harassment and abuse in sports. We know from a recent study, for example, that one third of female elite athletes have experienced sexual violence in sports. But my point here to say is that it's not only happening in elite sport, it's happening actually more at the grassroots level and on the talent pathway. So, you know, because in these environments, there are actually less safeguards. At the elite level now, people have, I think, in most countries, sports organizations have understood that there needs to be more safeguards at the elite level. But unfortunately, these safeguards are not yet implemented at the grassroots level. And we know from research that that's where more cases come from. Another big misconception is the fact that people think that if you want to be successful in school, that you need to be yelled at, you need to be screamed out, you need to go through extreme training regimens. You know, that you really need this authoritarian coaching culture to be successful. And if you don't have that, then you will not be successful. And I think now, you know, with studies and we are starting to understand that maybe in the short term, this kind of coaching culture can be successful. But in the long term, it's very detrimental to the athlete's health, mental health, physical health. And now, you know, the good modern coaches are really moving away from this, you know, authoritarian coaching style, old style, to a coaching style that is more focused on the athlete, that is more, participative. I think before sport was really focused on, like coaches were really focused on coaching sport and they applied the same coaching style to any athlete. And I think now they're starting to understand that, you know, these youngsters in sport, these young athletes are not just athletes, they're also human beings and they need to be treated with more more respect and more dignity and their voices also need to be heard more.
People forget that they're coaching a school team, that probably no one in this team is actually going to ever take sport further than school. And a lot of pressure can be put on from parents, from coaches. So I really appreciate that you're talking about this violence in more than just one meaning, that there's a whole sort of array that it covers. But to talk about that in school sport, that coaching style, that authoritarian style, I know of friends at different schools who gave up sport because it was just too much for them and the coaches were just too much. And then I also know of friends who absolutely loved sport and kept playing because their coaches were fantastic and didn't adopt that sort of style. It doesn't mean that the actual quality of sport suffers. In many cases, it means that it's perhaps better. So maybe just to tell us a little bit more about that as a form of violence that maybe many people don't even realize is violence in schools.
Yes, no, exactly. I think you made a great point here. How many of these students, of these athletes, student athletes will make it at the Olympics? Now, we've just had the Olympics, so we are all inspired, you know, by these amazing athletes. But in the end, very few will make it to the top of the games. And so we want to take care of all these youngsters. We want to make sure they have a good experience, and the goal is not for all of them to win an Olympic medal. It's for all of them to become well-rounded individuals, to have a great experience, to exploit their sporting potential, but also to thrive and, you know, to be happy, to enjoy themselves, and that's what will, you know, enable them to be, you know, well-balanced individuals. And I think so we're missing the often in sport, we're missing the big picture. We forget that at the end of the day, we just want these people to be happy and you know, winning. We've seen also with some high profile athletes such as Simone Biles recently and Michael Phelps, you know, they've won multiple medals and even then, you know, despite all of their success, all these medals that they won, they still struggle massively with their mental health and with their identity, you know, being seen only as a performing machine. And that was also extremely tough, and that, you know, it didn't matter that they had all these medals and that they had a lot of money on their bank account, but they suffered, you know, from all the harsh treatment that they received and, years of extremely hard training, without having any time to do anything else and maybe to develop other aspects of their personalities. So I think, yeah, safeguarding is safe sport is a very big topic. It's not only about protecting people against harassment and abuse. You know, it's also about making sure people have a great experience in sport and that their physical and mental health is nurtured and enhanced. I think that's what should be the focus.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sport Schools Podcast. You might call it living your best life, but we call it Spur Cheeseburger Mondays. Because for only $84.90, Mondays become legendary when you can choose between 100% pure beef, succulent chicken, delicious soya, or tender rib cheeseburger, all served with Spur-style crispy onion rings and golden chips. So, when life gives you Mondays, enjoy a Spur cheeseburger. T's and C's apply. Spur, people with a taste for life. Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sport Schools Podcast.
A word that you've used a lot is safeguard. And I know that's what you do in your work as a safe sport specialist and with On Guard. So maybe now we've analyzed the problem. You've given us some great insight into how it manifests from grassroots level all the way up to elite sport. To now talk about some of the solutions, and safeguarding is a word you've used a lot. So to explain to us what that means, what that involves, obviously you've said that in elite sport, there's perhaps more safeguarding than at school level. And so that can help. And since the Olympic Committee in South Africa has introduced safeguarding, all those cases have come out. And obviously the first step often to dealing with it is to make sure that it actually gets reported and gets dealt with. So what is safeguarding and how does that help?
So thank you for this question. Safeguarding is how to prevent interpersonal violence from happening and how to respond to non-accidental violence, to interpersonal violence when it happens. So all the actions that you will take to prevent interpersonal from happening. So what are these actions? Safe recruitment procedure. So making sure that the people who are working with children and young elite athletes in sport have the right qualification, that they have a clean criminal record, that they have the right qualification. So that's a preventive measure. Making sure that these people are educated as well, that they go through mandatory safeguarding training, that they understand, you know, what are our boundaries, what are the different forms of harassment and abuse, what is their role as a coach, as a professional working closely with young athletes. What is their role when it comes to safeguarding? Then it's also about having, as a sport organization, as a sport school, you need to also have, so we talked about the SASCOC policies and procedures, but every sport organization also needs to have their own safeguarding framework. So safeguarding policy, really stating their commitment that they will do everything they can to protect their students against harassment and abuse. And this policy should define what are the different forms of harassment and abuse, and what to do if there is a concern. So how you can report it and implement a safe reporting mechanism, making sure the students, the young people involved in sport, know who they can talk to if they have an issue, and know how their concerns will be dealt with. And education is a big one. So I think we're just at the beginning of this process, and everybody really needs to be educated, you know, on what is safeguarding, why it's important, different form of harassment and abuse, the impact it can have on a victim, on an organization, what to do if you have a concern, how to react if a close one has been affected. And everybody needs to be educated, the students, the staff, but also the parents. So you have these preventive measures, but also the response, the responsive measures are equally important. Because now that we are starting to implement policies and procedures, I think that was the case for SASCOC, for the South African Olympic Committee, when they started implementing their policy, they started receiving more cases, which in a way is a good sign. And, you know, people have been silent for many years because they didn't have any place to report, you know, the harm that they suffered. So, it's normal, but the organization needs to be ready to deal with these cases. So every organization should have some kind of disciplinary system to deal with these concerns and make sure that the concerns are reported to the right national authorities. And every case, every safeguarding incident should be dealt with at the disciplinary level, but also at, of course, if it needs to, at the judiciary level as well.
It is definitely a big topic, and I'm very glad we're getting to talk to you to go into it. What would you say, sort of as we come to the end of the conversation, but what would you say are things in general that people can do if they themselves are being abused, or if they suspect someone they know is either a victim of abuse or even a perpetrator of it?
Yeah, so very good question. So of course they should reach out. So if it's in a school, maybe there is someone, you know, could be a doctor or psychologist, or maybe there is even a safeguarding officer, or someone that they can speak to in confidence. So they should really reach out to them and get some help, or reach out to special NGOs specialized in safeguarding and child protection. So I don't know all of them in South Africa, but I know that there are some. So try to get the right support. There is at the National Olympic Committee level. So they have now a safeguarding officer. They have a reporting platform, so they can use that as well to make a report. But I would say that they should really speak out. That's the first step, and that's the first step toward their healing and their recovery. And if it's so. If it's someone else, you know, that you're worried about someone else, and if this person is a minor, you know, by law you have mandatory obligated to report it to the national law enforcement.
What are the signs that we should be looking out for? Because sometimes it's quite hard to tell, and other times it might not be, but if you don't know what you're looking for, it would always be difficult.
Yeah, no, it's so, and you know, for some people, so for some children, you wouldn't see any signs. You know, it doesn't mean because there are no signs that the person is not, you know, suffering. But usually, you know, when a child or an adolescent is being abused, then there will be signs. Maybe the child will become more withdrawn, will stop socializing as they used to. There could be a decrease in their performance as well. And I know in my case, that's really what happened. You know, when I started being abused, then I could not win a match anymore. I was crying on the court, getting really angry. Then the relationship with the parents can become difficult because they you know, youngster, it will be very difficult for them to open up and say that they are being abused. So their way of expressing it will be to become maybe more aggressive, to have difficult relationship with the parents. If a child was always super passionate about their sport and was always happy to practice, and then suddenly they don't want to, they are not as keen to practice and do their sport, then, you know, then perhaps there is something wrong. But I would say my advice for parents and for anyone working in sports is to really be vigilant, to pay attention, to look at for the signs.
Mathilde, thank you so much for talking to me and also opening up about your own story and your experiences. I think you've given us a lot to think about, and I hope anybody who's watching who has experienced abuse or might suspect that someone they know is experiencing it takes your words on board and does take action, because like you say, that's the first step to do something about it. So thank you so much. And thanks for joining me on the Super Sports Schools podcast.
Thank you so much, Alexander. That was a pleasure.
Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Super Sports Schools podcast. I know we've given you a lot to think about today. I hope you are thinking about it. And if you are looking for information or information about anything that we've spoken about today, it is on screen. If you are watching the show, if you're listening on the Super Sports Schools podcast on whatever app that you use, you can check the show notes for more information. But I'll see you next time. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Super Sports Schools podcast brought to you by Spur. For now, bye-bye.
This has been the Super Sports Schools podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spur Steak Ranchers.